We're learning about German heritage pig roasts here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, thanks for being here. Roasting pork has been a tradition in many cultures for thousands of years. Old World Wisconsin is in the wooded hills in the southern unit of Kettle Moraine State Forest, and they're hosting an 1860s Spanferkel tomorrow. We thought, hey, let's check it out and see if we can explore some German food ahead of so many Oktoberfest events in the coming weeks. Have you ever been to a heritage pig roast? Is a pig roast part of your family reunions or a community gathering in your town? Join in with your experiences and your tips on the spit roast, 800-642-1234. Kate Dallas is curator and exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin. Kate, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. I'm delighted to be with you this morning.
Well, help us understand, what is a German pig roast? What is it all about?
Yeah, the Spanferkel. Well, you know, roasting pig is an ancient tradition in all cultures that are raising pigs for food. So the Spanferkel in Germany is really linked to big community events like Oktoberfest, for instance. So it's young suckling pigs. That's what a Ferkel is. It's an immature pig. So it's a suckling pig. That's a piglet that hasn't been weaned yet. So think 4 to 6 weeks old and maybe is 25 to 35 pounds. So it's roasted over an open fire on a bit. Think about those chicken rotisseries. So you're cranking your pig around and around over this open fire, probably 6 hours or so.
And this is vintage 1860s. What does that mean?
Well, it means that the German immigrants who came to Wisconsin in the 1840s, 50s, 60s, and 70s brought those traditions from their homelands with them to this new life in Wisconsin. We're hosting this pig roast at our 1860s Pomeranian farm, which is a German farm established by new immigrants, brand new to Wisconsin. So their old original traditions are the most vibrant in that space. So we thought Spanferkel would be perfect there.
Will they be dressed in period costumes? What will they be wearing?
Yes, the servers will be in period clothing, and we'll be able to tell those folks who attend about the historic buildings on that farm and the layout and what life might have been like for this German immigrant family in Wisconsin.
What was life like in the 1800s? Were pig roasts common? What brought people together for them?
I think pig roasts would be something that they were certainly family celebrations. So think about weddings and maybe baptisms, entry into the church, but also community. Probably Christmas might have been such a thing, big community celebrations.
And you're all about historical accuracy at Old World Wisconsin. What traditional methods will you be using to cook this pig? How does it work?
Oh, gosh. It's over a big open pit fire in the middle of this farmyard. And there's an iron spit made by our blacksmith here on site. So the pig will be attached to the spit. And there will be a person who is turning the spit slowly throughout the course of the day, getting ready for serving this in the evening for the special Spanferkel event.
Is it seasoned in any way or coated?
I don't believe this one has was marinated or has an outer coating, though historically they sometimes were brined first, like we do brining today for different cuts of meat before we barbecue. But this one is right onto the spit.
About how many hours over the pit would you imagine?
Well, it's going to take at least 6. Our pig is a little bigger than that tiny pig size, so it's going to take probably 6 to 8 hours to complete the cooking.
We're talking about German heritage food and specifically pig roasts with Kate Dallas. She is curator and exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin. Is a pig roast a part of a tradition in your family? What other German food traditions do you remember or do you take part in? Are you planning to go to an Oktoberfest somewhere around our state this fall? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kate, what are some other foods that are served with the Spanferkel? What goes around it?
Oh, we're going to have some delicious German potato salad. So that's that classic that we've seen here in Wisconsin quite a bit, sliced potatoes with some bacon and onion and a warm sweet and sour dressing tossed over it. So it's a warm salad. There's going to be traditional rye bread and fresh jam made here on site.
Ooh, what kind of jam?
Well, I've seen two ways. It could be strawberry or it could be currant from our own bushes here. Currants and gooseberries are some of the traditional heirloom plants that we maintain here at Old World. So we use them in our foodways programs. There's also going to be cucumber salad, so you can look for thinly sliced cucumbers, a little bit of onion, vinegar, and a little sugar and salt in that mix. And then for dessert, I know there's going to be Kuchen. Have you had Kuchen?
I have. That reminds me of my grandmother.
Yes. Well, food is tied to memory, right?
Yeah.
As much as it's tied to tradition. So Kuchen is a yeast bread that's raised up and oftentimes has jam incorporated in it or a kind of a streusel topping with a brown sugar and butter on the top. It's, we think of it today as a coffee cake, but mm-hmm. really for German immigrants, it's an all-purpose, anytime snack or dessert food.
Yeah, my grandmother would serve it like mid-morning mm-hmm. with coffee, calling it Lebkuchen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that tradition of coffee clutch, having that coffee is something
right.
that we know a lot about, too. That's a tradition, food tradition that's persisted with us.
You know, some immigrants who came to the U.S. during this time left their food traditions behind, really in an attempt to assimilate to where they were. Did this happen at all with our state's German settlers?
In some ways it did. It's interesting. And I think about a cookbook, a really influential German-American cookbook that was published in many editions. It was written by a German woman for Germans immigrating to America. And as we know, many of them came to Wisconsin. But the German cookbook for these immigrants contains some traditional German recipes in the German language and then a whole section in English with these similar recipes, including translations back and forth of cooking terms. So I think that even from early immigrant times, there was a lot of transition back and forth for Germans. They were learning recipes from these cookbooks that included some American and other European style recipes early on. And of course, they learned from their neighbors too. Mm. But the Germans clearly have left a mark on our food tradition here in Wisconsin.
Do you find that it is a social cooking that people gather around to do it together?
Historically?
Yeah.
That would be hard to say. I would okay. say in some situations, if you are having a barn raising, a plowing day where your family and friends come together to share equipment or labor, there certainly was food sharing, community eating. You know, if you think of a traditional barn raising scene, and that wasn't just German, of course, that was the practical response to the need for extra hands at work and how to feed them to get them through the task they were doing.
Well, no German-themed event would be complete without cold beer, and you're going to be featuring historic beer that's brewed on site at Old World Wisconsin.
Right.
can you tell us about that?
Well, we have a wonderful collaborative program with German brewing volunteers. from the Wisconsin Museum of Brewing. And they've been working with us for several years now to develop our brewing on-site program. So they've been busy all year, I think every other weekend, doing some kind of special brewing here at Old World, where visitors can come and see the beer they're brewing in historic tradition, but also to have taste. So I will myself be interested to find out which beer they decide to showcase at this Spanferkel.
Have you done Spanferkels in the past? And is it like a learning experience? Do you learn things each time you try them?
Well, this is our first time out the door with a Spanferkel. And I'm thrilled to say that it is sold out. So that's very encouraging and exciting for us. But certainly we look forward. We will learn from this, undoubtedly. And hopefully do the same thing again next year. But we have a lot of food opportunities going on through the entire season. So coming up this fall, guests who come to visit can help us make sauerkraut, great horseradish. They'll be kneading rye bread dough and packing the root cellar, just a few things. And in and among those events, there are oftentimes tastings from historic recipes for guests to enjoy, too.
We're learning about German heritage foods and giving a shout out to so many Oktoberfest events around Wisconsin. Kate Dallas is our guide. She's curator and exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin. Some of the largest and longest running Oktoberfest celebrations happen every year in Wisconsin. There are dozens on the calendar, including West Milwaukee Oktoberfest in West Allis. That's coming up next weekend. There's Old Settlers Oktoberfest in Salem on September 8th, Kohler Falls Oktoberfest September 13th and 14th. So many more. We'll be back for more Wisconsin Weekend in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about German heritage food and this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Old World Wisconsin is holding an 1860s pig roast tomorrow, and we thought it's a good time to talk about the food served at Oktoberfest. There are more than two dozen German festivals in our state over the next couple months. A shout out to Lion's Tail Oktoberfest in Neenah. The Chippewa Falls Oktoberfest is a huge draw. And there's the Lorelei Inn Oktoberfest in Green Bay. So what is your favorite food at Oktoberfest? Have you gone to a heritage pig roast? What was it like? We're at 800-642-1234. Kate Dallas is curator and exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin, and she stays with us. Kate, what is the significance of rye bread in the German heritage? Why rye?
Rye was a seed that would grow very well in the northern part of the world where Germany is. So it translated pretty easily to Wisconsin.
And then what is the secret to a really good sauerkraut?
Oh, really good sauerkraut. Uh-huh. Wow. Sauerkraut was really important to our German immigrants. You know, I can't speak for really good kraut, but I can tell you that it was vital to them for survival. They planted hundreds of heads per person in the family of cabbage in order to preserve it. The fermentation of sauerkraut allows that cabbage to be preserved in crocks. So you have to imagine a root cellar with crocks and crocks and crocks of kraut, because that's how your cabbage crop is going to feed your family through the long winter. We do have guests help us make sauerkraut, so we use the old-fashioned box cabbage grater to slice it up in shreds, tamp it down into a large crock, add salt, and tamp some more. And I think that's the key, to keep that kraut below the liquid cabbage juice level. That'll keep it safe for eating and delicious.
What's down in the root cellar? Can you give us a tour?
Yeah, you know, so those crocks are down there of cabbage for sure, but they're going to be wooden crates that may have eggs layered in them. Eggs could be stored for quite a few months without spoilage if they were laid in between sawdust or sand. So eggs are going to be down there because your hens are going to stop laying once the sunlight reduces. They're going to reduce the amount of eggs they provide. There's going to be carrots in barrels of sand or sawdust down below. If you're lucky and your farm has an orchard, you may have bushels of apples down there drying as well to hold over for the winter. I think that kind of food certainly. In your smokehouse, you're probably going to have sausage and ham smoking too to dry them for the winter months.
Well, before we let you go, can you tell us the significance of Oktoberfest and what you love about it?
I love that it's community nature, that we're really gearing up, celebrating this great harvest, our success through the summer, and we are going forward with confidence into this kind of bleak winter time as a community. So we know that those good spirits that we celebrate in Oktoberfest is going to carry us through the dark times of year. And if you guests want to learn more about Old World Wisconsin, please follow us on Facebook, and you'll see what kinds of community celebrations and historic traditions we're celebrating the whole season long.
Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Kate Dallas is curator, and she's exhibit developer at Old World Wisconsin, which we should mention is run by the Wisconsin Historical Society and is a business sponsor of WPR. We've been learning about Spahnfurkel, the pig roast that will be held tomorrow at Old World Wisconsin, and other German heritage foods here on Wisconsin Weekend. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here is producer Maureen McCollum with a story about survival.
Dreaming can help some people get through incredibly difficult times. Madison's Tondalea Taylor talks about how daydreaming helped her overcome a major health crisis and appreciate everyday life.
You want to know what I love? I love traveling, great earrings and purses. I mean, who wouldn't love to shop every day, all day, with not a care or worry in the world? I envision myself walking through the airport with my favorite pair of Black Queen earrings, my cute matching crossbody purse, taking a first-class flight to the Bahamas. I find myself doing that all too often. When I daydream, it was starting to affect my day job. Daydreaming was good to me until I had an unexpected visitor that would put my daydreaming into jeopardy. I had been feeling horrible for a few months. I was so tired, I almost couldn't make it to the doctor appointment. I finally dragged myself to the doctor. Never planned out in my mind that I would drive to the doctor, but I would ride in the ambulance to the emergency room. Mm-hmm. 8 hours later, one doctor came in and said, "You look good compared to what your body is going through, so we're going to keep you overnight." I suddenly had a sigh of relief. After another doctor came in and told me he ran every test he could possibly run, and he said I had leukemia. Then I called my mom and said they think I have cancer, even though he was truly sure that's what it was. I called my mama because I wanted her to call him and tell him about himself. Don't be telling her baby she got cancer like that one time she told the school worker not to be talking down on her kids. Or like that one time she told our babysitter, "Don't tell us we can't eat our food." Then, finally moved to my first room after being admitted into the hospital. It was the ICU. It was never told to me what stage cancer I was in. I was always told it's aggressive. After 8 rounds of chemo, after 2 bone marrow tests, after various trips to the hospital for infections, after losing my hair, after 4 non-successful tries of getting stem cells, after telling my son I had cancer, after not having an appetite, after many restless nights, after not being able to daydream about traveling to places with no signs of cold weather anywhere. I finally got good news. Besides finding out the chemo was working, there was no evidence of the disease. I got stem cells. I made them on my own with the booster shot, of course. For these new stem cells I was about to receive, going in the hospital for 1 month, take chemo for 7 days. This may have been the hardest chemo I have ever gotten, but I made it to transplant day. Wipe my system out and receive a new beginning. It's like filing chapter 7 bankruptcy in my body. I wanted to go home and heal there. I'm living my life after cancer. I enjoy every day as my last because I don't know how much time I have here. Wow. One thing I was always worried about is if the cancer will ever come back. The thing about cancer is that it's not a cure, so I'm not fully cured of cancer. I'm just living my life like it doesn't exist. This time when I daydream is really to take the trip to the Bahamas with my new surviving cancer earrings and I survived cancer t-shirt. The biggest daydream is really a reality because it involves being cancer free.
Tondalea Taylor's story came to us from the UW Odyssey Project. Taylor was also a guest on the new podcast Inside Stories, which features Madison storytellers and digs deeper into their lives. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings@wpr.org. That's mornings@wpr.org. And we'll explore your tip for a Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.